welcome to On The Box here on The Geek Show Network. We are here once again to talk about a bunch of TV-related things. I'm Andrew, and today I am joined by a group of people,
yes.
None of whom I've ever seen before. Who are you, mysterious group of people?
Well, we're all wearing masks, so we are possibly kidnappers.
Yes, I am recording this from the back of a van, so who knows?
Yes. So, how do you spell ransom again?
I believe it's R-A-N-S-U-M.
S-O-M, I think.
Yeah.
No.
S-O-M.
Then you'll look like smart kidnappers.
We have to go with what he says because he's from Eagles Cliff and he has tea with the vicar.
Oh, that's right. He is so middle class it hurts.
Yes, my monocle does have a monocle.
Yes. Which is why we kidnapped him.
Yes.
Because we want tea with the vicar too.
Oh, that's why we did. Well,
that's our demands. We demand to have tea with the vicar.
I'm sorry, but I can't support that. I'm out.
Well, are you a dragon now?
Yes.
Do you have like a big pile of money next to you?
Well, I thought that's why we were doing this, so I could have that big pile of money.
No, it's just for tea with the vicar.
Well, then, I'm out.
I'll have you for 40% of the tea.
Not even for all the tea in China.
Right, okay, as you can probably tell, there is an Andy, an Owen, and a Rob in the house, yes, joining the Andrew. So, yes, welcome to...
On the Box.
Yes.
I remembered the show name.
I forgot. That's why I waved to Andy. I was like, watch which show we do it again. Right, anyway, we've got all sorts of news, so Andy, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, well, first up, Charlie Brooker might be making some more Black Mirror.
Really?
But now for Netflix instead of Channel 4.
Ooh. Did Channel 4 get upset with him or something?
No, I think Netflix have just bought the rights because they are gigantic now.
And they had more money.
Yes.
And Charlie Brooker, like anybody on TV, is... But you know what it is? Do you remember that old John Smith's advert that had Jack D on? Where he's like, you know, I'm not gonna destroy my credibility for this. I mean, you can't make me. What can you offer me?
Oh, yes, and then they hand him just a big sack of money.
Yeah, he's like, and then all of a sudden he's surrounded by ladybirds. He's like, widget, it's got a widget, a lovely widget.
Weren't a lot of people disappointed that he did that as well?
No, people loved the fact that he did that.
Really?
Yeah, just because it was so on the nose.
Yeah, it's just basically, you know, why should I destroy my credibility? And then someone gives him loads of cash. He's like, yeah, that's a good reason.
Fair enough.
It was basically being realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way. If somebody asked you to basically... was willing to pay you £5 million to put on a furry bikini and dance your way slowly down Linthorpe Road.
I would say I have more dignity than that.
But it's £5 million and you would never have to work again in your
listening,
entire life.
I do not have that much self-respect. I will happily take the money. I'll let you call me Nancy.
You would never have to work again for your entire life. You could buy anything you want. You know, you could basically do anything you want for the rest of your life, all for 5 minutes of dancing down Linthorpe Road in a furry bikini. Would you do it? And you can talk about self-respect, but when that big pile of cash is right in front of you...
Here's the thing. I want to be Gatti Vayron, and that's almost half my money gone already, so...
Yeah, but you'd still have £2.5 million left. Think of the things that you can't do with £2.5 million. It's a much smaller list.
Can't buy a £3.5 million house.
Yeah, but isn't it a much smaller list of things that
do? It is quite a much smaller list.
You could probably count them on like your fingers and toes, the things that you can't do with £2.5 million.
Probably,
buy a lot of cornels.
Thank you. We'll pay for the experimental surgery to get extra fingers and toes to count those things on.
I could do, yes.
Exactly. Or you could be like the ten-fingered man.
I could buy a life.
The most useless villain in DC history. Yes, I have eyes on my fingers because that's like a superpower. And how do you stop me? You basically put a bag over my hands.
And then he's blind.
Yeah.
Well, no, not even that. Basically, you've beat him every time he tries to make a fist to punch you with.
Yes, exactly.
His optician must hate him. You've got dust in your eyes. They're on my fingers, all right?
How does he fix cars? How does he make his tea?
how does he do anything?
How does he eat? My God, no. When he comes to wiping his backside.
At least you'll be able to see when he's finished.
No wonder he was a bad guy. You'd go crazy and evil if you had to wipe your bum with eye hands.
Oh, yes.
You can see when you're finished, so you don't have to gamble.
Oh.
It took about 5 minutes for us to reach this level.
I think that's a new record.
No, the record is about 1 minute, 3 seconds.
All right.
Basically, we just went straight over the edge that day. Back to the news.
Yeah. Yes.
Black Mirror.
On Netflix, maybe. That's apparently kind of... they've kind of been in talks, and Charlie Brooke is now working on scripts, so we'll have to see, you know, if they get produced, which I hope they will. Because Black Mirror, it's probably one of the best shows that's come out recently, I would say.
It is, yeah.
I think it's interesting to be on Netflix, because it's basically a show about, like, the cutting edge of technology.
Well, the other thing, I think that Netflix is a much better place for it, too. And the main reason I think that is because Black Mirror fits with a lot of what Netflix is already showing.
Mm.
You know, it fits in with the whole kind of ethos of what Netflix is showing on TV. So, if you look at the shows they pick up, they've got a definite agenda, isn't simply pick up the most popular shows.
Otherwise,
they wouldn't be showing anime as well.
They've still got the IT crowd there as well.
Mm. Well, let's put it this way. If you look at the anime that they're showing, a Netflix exclusive series was Knights of Cydonia, which is very sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's very kind of futuristic, sci-fi, cyberpunkish type stuff. And that was a Netflix exclusive. Mm. So,
yeah, but see, Netflix is actually aware of what it is people want to see.
Mm. Yeah.
It is as well, though. Netflix now, it's more popular than your obscure channels. You know, like your... I don't know, it might be like BBC4 or something like that. I think it's getting there, you know.
Excuse me,
Watch,
sir.
Watch, maybe.
When you say obscure channels, you have to remember one thing. I'm Asian. I'm familiar with the obscurest channels. I'm familiar with really, really obscure channels.
Well, that took a turn.
Channels that you've never even heard of.
Well, that took a turn.
I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, I regularly watch NHK World, which is Japanese TV, there's all of the Asian channels, like the Indian channels, like this one called Rishti, which only shows, like, Indian dramas. I'm sitting there while they're all speaking in Hindi, I'm going, I have no idea what's going on.
You've got the Welsh kids TV channel now.
Seriously?
Where it's English, like...
No, it's all in
it's
Welsh,
just
isn't
dubbed
it?
In Welsh.
But is that like when you accidentally switch on to BBC Wales and start worrying that you might have had a stroke?
No, I found Ultimate Spider-Man, the cartoon, on like S4C, and it had been dubbed into Welsh, and it was just the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen, because you got Peter Parker, and I'm expecting him to be, I'm expecting him to have like this New York accent or something like that, but it's not. He's speaking in Welsh, and then Mary Jane Watson walks in, and she goes, Yakida. I'm like, what the hell? What's going on?
Something had been dubbed for kids. So I've tried to watch BBC Alba, and I think they speak Gaelic in that. It's got Gaelic, and I'm sat there trying to watch. I'm like, I can't follow this. I'm just going to give up. 15 times I tried to watch that channel, and I just can't.
You didn't have enough alcohol in your bloodstream at that point.
But I thought I would have been at least Scottish enough to watch it.
You didn't have enough alcohol in your bloodstream at that point.
Turns out Gaelic is actually just normal English, but really slurred.
It's really drunk English.
This is why I said you didn't have enough alcohol in your bloodstream. You weren't Scottish enough.
Always comes back to the alcohol.
Yeah. I know enough Scots. I know plenty of Scots. It always comes back to the alcohol. Let's put it this way: for a lot of people that I know who live and work in Scotland, a lot of the mates, a lot of my friends who are Scottish, it is literally that line from The Simpsons to alcohol, the cause of and solution to
all of life's problems.
Anyway, Black Mirror.
Yes, that's that story's done now. It's over. We're moving on.
All right, moving on to who's next?
Yes, this is the, we've talked about before, the Game Changers.
Is this the Grand Theft Auto
documentary? Yes, it's the Grand Theft Auto documentary starring Daniel Radcliffe, and it's based
Bill
around...
Bill Paxton's in it as well, isn't he?
Yes.
Please say at some point he's going to yell out, game over, man.
Game over, man, game over.
But this centres around, I mean, it started because GTA 5, obviously, it was...
Made over a billion.
Yeah. And they made this, it goes back to 2002, and it's the transition from your old Grand Theft Auto
the
games
top down, the top
to
down
the 3D.
To, yeah, Grand Theft Auto 3. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 3 was the big transition one, which was interesting because everyone's kind of, the thing that kind of annoys me a little bit about the whole open world of Grand Theft Auto 3. Yes, it was the first true open world, and yes, it was the first kind of third-person thing. Or rather, it was an open world. But it only got there through games like Shenmue, and you're like, because you hear all the Grand Theft Auto fanboys going, oh, Grand Theft Auto's so great. And I'm like, yeah, but it didn't do it first. So there, you've heard it. Mm. Yeah, I'll take you all then.
Is that how the Game Changers ends? Just with you standing there going, like, well, actually, Shenmue did it first. And then just snap your fingers because you are a sassy black woman.
Mm-hmm.
I was joking, but no, you actually are a sassy black woman.
Oh, I didn't think that would actually silence you.
I didn't think anything would.
So, yes. Anyway, Grand Theft Auto.
Yep, it's... obviously, it had a lot.
It's a dramatization, so they're going to kind of jazz things up a bit. Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot. It was court cases and politician campaigns.
Because Bill Paxton was basically doing his best Rosie O'Donnell impression, or rather, the politician at the time, the American politician, was doing his best Rosie O'Donnell impression. Think of the children. Won't someone think of the children? Because the children are being, you know, they're being inundated with all this sex and violence, and it's changing the way they think.
What was that disargument, though? Well, there was a big argument
puberty.
About don't buy them for your children, wasn't it? I think that...
Yeah, basically.
That still stands.
If a game's got... And parents are basically saying, I didn't know that was the type of thing that was in it. But you're buying a game
rated 18.
And you're buying a game called Grand Theft Auto, and the surprise that you can steal cars... And
no, the surprise is that you can go around killing people. Well, it's
an 18.
Yeah, it's an 18 rated game.
Yeah,
maybe, and your child is 11. Maybe you shouldn't buy it for them.
What's next?
Yeah. Are you going to walk into like a sex shop and show them hardcore pornography just because they want to watch it?
Well, yeah, but it is a valid point, though. Like those things, they do have things on the front saying, this is for it, like 18 and over. So you can go, oh, yes, I will not show that to my child then. So, like, surely it should be the same with video games.
Yeah, I mean, this is my point, you know, because the kids, if you walk past a kid in a supermarket going, Mommy, I want to watch Debbie Does Dallas or something like that.
Mommy, buy me a bottle of Scrumpy Jack.
Yeah, you'd basically just go, the parents absolutely wouldn't stand for it at all.
I'm going to put my hand up to that.
Not a good thing to say after what we've been talking about.
No. I was 10 years old when I got my PlayStation 4. I got a PlayStation 2.
I was going to say, what, 10 years old when you got a PlayStation 4?
My dad's a time traveler. No, I was 10 years old when I got my PS2 Slim, and one of the games I did have for it was GTA Vice City.
Yes.
At 10 years old, yep.
Yes.
My parents had no problem with that. I haven't killed a person since.
No, but here's my point, right? Did you ask for that game?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know. I think I asked for a GTA because
you asked for a GTA game. Yeah. All your friends were playing GTA.
No, it was because I went to Scotland.
My point is this.
Yeah, but yeah.
My point is this, okay? If you asked your parents for hardcore pornography at that age...
They would have said no.
Okay, so what's the difference between GTA and they've both got age ratings on them. My point is, if you don't obey the age ratings, then obviously there's going to the age ratings are there for a reason. Yeah. Your parents might not have an issue with you playing GTA, but you can't automatically, you can't then turn around and say, well, hang on, you know, these games are violent, they promote violence in children. If your parents are buying them, so if parents are buying for them for their children, those parents lose the right to complain if their children basically try and copy what's in the game.
That's true. I, even at 10 years old, I was responsible enough to know what I did in the game, I shouldn't do.
That's you. Not all children are like were like you.
Well, that's true. I was a very logical child.
See the difference.
Kids of today, they're just
kids of today have no stamina.
And anyway, it's
too much caffeine drinks. BBC,
also, BBC Owen 2. Is actually just a robot. Mother unit, I desire Grand Theft Auto.
I think you'll find it was father unit that bought it for me.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's the 15th of September, so that's Tuesday.
Yes.
And 9 till 10:30 on BBC Two. So it's
should be interesting. Anyway. So it's a TV movie.
Hmm. TV documentary drama movie.
TV movie. We don't need the
it's
other
like
bits.
The top of the article says documentary. Article says drama. I don't know.
A docudrama movie.
On yeah, TV.
On TV. On BBC TV. No breaks.
Or a docudrama movie.
Docufilm.
This is just getting ridiculous.
It is.
All right, okay.
Right, we'll go.
Right, so yes. Grand Theft Auto.
Game changes.
Game changes on September the 15th.
Yes.
9 till 10:30. Okay, right. Moving on. Next story. Owen, you got one?
Yes, I do. Stuart Harcourt, very well known for adaptations of Miss Marple and Poirot, is doing an adaptation on George Simmons' French detective Jules Maigret. Now, who would your best actor be to play that role?
Richard Littlewood, or Little John, or whatever his name is.
Well, oh, no, he's Robin not an actor. Hood, then.
He's not an actor, is he? He's a writer for the Daily Mail, who I wanted to punch. Not him. Jeremy Clarkson. No, not him.
Not people you want to punch. Okay, try and get away from
okay,
that.
Okay.
Vin Diesel.
Actually, that would be hilarious.
It would be. But this just goes...
Negre just walking in going, I am... wrong.
So this is what happens when I try and ask... A serious question.
It's not going to happen on this show. No. You know that.
Okay.
Just tell us the facts. Okay. Don't ask us questions because it's going to go off on one. You know this.
Yes, I should. But you know, if it was me, if I'd said to you Rowan Atkinson, you'd thought I was being weird, wouldn't you?
Hang on,
Rowan
what?
If I'd said Rowan Atkinson, you'd have thought I'd been weird, wouldn't you?
Rowan Atkinson as in Mr. Bean.
Yeah, everybody's
and
lovable buffoon.
He was in Thin Blue Line, though.
Hey?
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
His Thin Blue Line was a comedy.
That's an even better point as well.
Maigret is not a comedy.
No. Yes, enough of your shenanigans, Owen. Tell us who the real actor is.
Well, it is Rowan Rowan Atkinson is taking a break from comedy, because I didn't realise he was already on a break from comedy, to star in two... Jules Maigret films, Maigret Sets a Trap. So I thought that was The Emperor That Sets the Traps.
See, I just now I've got a weird mental image of Mr. Bean playing Mousetrap.
See, I was thinking more like Mr. Bean in something like Fallout scenario, just like putting down bear traps, kind of setting mines all across the doorway.
It'll be good to see him in a different...
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he is 60, isn't he?
Yeah, but the thing is, he's a very talented actor as it is.
Yeah.
But he never... Because he's been typecast into so many comedy roles, that's mainly what he's been getting. So it'd be interesting to see him in an actual serious role.
Definitely. So yeah, he's... So the film, TV films he's doing, it's a pair of two-hour films... As I tried to say earlier, two-hour films, which nearly blew my CPU apart.
Too many twos.
Yes.
Like your binary code can't handle it.
No,
it can only handle 10101.
Exactly. So you got Maigret Sets a Trap and Maigret's Dead Man. Both set in 1950s Paris.
Maigret's Dead Man?
Yes.
That just sounds like a euphemism. That Viagra will cure. It was like that question that you came up with for the quiz know, what is the name of Falcon's Falcon? automatically, we went to Gentleman's Gentleman.
Wow.
So, right. From what
which gave new connotations to Red Wing.
It's going to open it up and let it soar.
Yes. Anyway.
So, yeah, anyway, I don't see any dates for this, so you might want to, well, you might want to
it's probably it might still be in production.
All right. But, you know, this comes not long after Acterson has celebrated Mr. Bean's 25th anniversary.
Yeah. Do you know the weird thing about Mr. Bean?
There are many weird things about Mr. Bean.
No, the
where do I begin?
The weirdest thing about Mr. Bean is just how much it's become such a global thing that these days, if you walk up to somebody who's never seen Mr. Bean and you say, yeah, that fella is a bit like Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
They'll know exactly what you mean.
It's a bit of a British icon as well.
No, it's a global icon. You know, it's ridiculous just how portable
especially Mr. America Bean,
the whole idea of Mr. Bean was. And it's been transported to so many other countries. Yeah. Because it had very little in the way of actual dialogue.
I think it was only like the first episode, wasn't it? Or something like that, when he sat in the exam with the Pink Panther model.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I remember that one.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think one of the funniest bits that always gets me is when he's on the escalator.
For me, it's when his Mini was destroyed by a tank.
Oh yes,
and he's just there. He's on his knees. There's petrol pouring out like blood. And just takes off the lock and just hurries away.
Yeah,
there was an episode as well where it showed his mischievous side, where he's in a dry cleaners, and somebody steals his like dry clean like his washer, and he finds like a coffee.
Yeah,
and he swaps it with the powder. Oh my god!
I was
I'm going to watch a few
steak.
Of them now. Yeah.
Wait, no, it wasn't for that. What was it? He ordered steak, but it's like a pureed thing.
Yeah,
but, like he just tries to put it everywhere.
There's so many Mr. Bean,
and he's just clicked on what you were talking about, and he's gone.
There's so many Mr. Bean bits we could talk about. We could fill the entire show with Mr. Bean
bits.
Yes,
we could. Yes, we could. But the thing is, that's what made the character great.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and eminently portable to so many countries.
Yeah, because everyone understands slapstick comedy.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Let's put it this way. There are tribes in the Amazon that only wear feathers and maybe a Coca-Cola t-shirt. And
they still like Mr. Bean.
Yeah. The thing is, they'll probably say to each other, you know, oh, that one, you know, he's no good with the blowgun. He's a bit like Mr. Bean.
But yeah,
he can't put a telly in. He's a bit like Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
But when I said, like, he's a bit of a British icon, what it meant is, like, when you think of Britain, he's one of the things you do think of, because he is recognisable as British, though.
No, the Olympic Games, for example. Yeah, the Olympic Games, okay, fine. He is recognised as British, but I'm hesitant to call him a British icon, because if we call him a British icon, what does that say about us?
it's
a question that you need to think about, isn't it?
Well, what would you prefer people thought of when they thought of British? Mr. Bean or rampant imperialism?
The rampant imperialism's kind of died down a lot since Queen Victoria's time.
True.
we've had about a century to get it out of our system.
Unless you ask Argentinians.
Are you saying that we're like the Soviet? No, sorry, the Russians.
I think more like.
See, I was
Klingons.
Thinking more like S Club 7.
Wow.
Soviet Club 7.
That's the basic. We do something terrible, then we just Comrade. Wait long enough for everyone to miss it.
I've forgotten the names of the S Club 7 people.
Oh god, I just thought of, you know, one of their hits was Reach for the Star, Reach for the Tsar.
Oh. Oh, I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
So yes, this new
I think that story's dead.
Yeah, we're done with that story. I think
it's been crushed under the boot heel of imperialism.
Yeah, or S Club 7. Anyway, moving on. BBC, they have announced a live sport deal. It's one of the first kind of new live sport deals that I've seen I've heard from BBC for a while. That isn't a sport that they already cover or have already covered. This one is with the NFL and its live matches for 2 years. And I like this. I like this a lot because it shows that BBC are still trying to compete. And they're basically throwing down the gauntlet to Channel 4 with this. Because Channel 4 have had the monopoly on NFL for a while. But if BBC are going to be showing live matches, they're going to get a lot of people watching.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of NFL fans in the UK.
I think it's interesting. It's like pretty much the exact thing we were talking about the other week about how the BBC need to branch out into more stuff like this.
Yeah. My main worry, though, is I'm glad they're going for NFL, but I just want them to understand what people want to watch, you know. Mm. I don't mind a bit of sumo every now and then, but I couldn't watch it regularly because, you know, there's only so much of large men wearing, wearing like long cloths that you can watch.
Is there?
Yes, there is. There's only so much of that you can watch. And thing is, as much, I do understand a lot about the sport of sumo, and I understand just how that, in a very real sense, it's a martial art rather than natural sport. And the amount of training that they go through is ridiculous. But when you start going into, like, you know, international skeet shooting or how many cans can you shoot off this log kind of thing, when you start heading down that territory, I don't really think they classify it as sports. Or even just darts championships. Please stop showing darts.
It's not a sport.
I think you'll find those are hard-working athletes.
Anything where you can drink a pint while you're doing it does not count as a
sport.
That is
a good general rule.
I'm sorry, when Mo Farah is running the 5,000 metres, he doesn't stop for a shandy on the way around.
Well, you say that, they could like replace the water bottles they get.
It'd make the finish really, really funny. Just all of them staggering down.
You know what should have, right? They should have a race where they have to drink a certain limit of alcohol before the race, all of them, and have it hurdles.
They do. It's called the Run for the Night Bus. You mainly see it in London.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a lot of people know what that is.
Yeah, you mainly, it's more like a steeplechase than hurdles. As you see them leaving the pub and running down the road towards the bus stop as the bus has just got the indicator on that he's about to leave. It's that final sprint.
I think the night bus drivers actually spend just ages waiting there with the indicator on, just until they start seeing people come out of the pub.
That's what makes it a sporting event.
And the athletes are ready, and they're off.
I do understand, though, what you class as sport and what you don't, though. I mean, snooker for one as well.
Snooker, I understand why that's classed as a sport. Yeah. It requires skill.
It does.
And it requires judgment.
I wouldn't
and
call
you
that
can't,
a sport, though.
And you can no longer
get you into a sweat.
You can no longer drink pints while you're playing snooker, which is why I'm more likely to class it as a sport.
Yeah.
Whereas darts, you can drink pints while you're playing it. It's not a sport. Has it? Has it? Really? Okay.
Well, there we go.
All right. Well, it's not
even fun anymore.
Can they eat pies while they're playing it? Okay, then it's not a sport. You can't eat pies while you're playing snooker.
What kind of pies?
Any kind of pies.
Okay.
No, yeah, you have to get like the special Morrison's pies, which is just meat pie.
Yeah, but that's barely meat.
No. It just says meat. It doesn't tell you what type of meat.
Oh, that's even worse.
About 10 pence a pie.
Oh, God, I don't even want to think what those are.
The only other named ingredient in there would be potato.
That's basically meat translates to you don't want to know and we don't want to tell you.
Exactly. Oh.
You know when they call it named meat? Do they mean like Rover or something like that?
You might be able to settle something, settle an argument I've had for a while. Formula One, is it a sport?
Yes.
Thank you.
The reason why it's a sport is because the drivers have to undergo huge amounts of training.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something that you could just... Let's put it this way. Of all four of us around this table, I would absolutely guarantee that none of us would be able to handle a Formula One car.
I'll have you know I can almost drive a normal car.
No, you can't. You cannot.
I do think that I mean, it's classed as motorsport, isn't it? It's like a different genre type of thing.
Are you going to talk about rally?
No, I'm about... you have to think with go-karts? Formula One and things like that. It's the car as well.
Thing is, it's not just
two.
It is. It's the same with any driving sport.
Yeah.
It's a combination of the two. But the thing is, the car can only do so much. I mean, you basically put a car on a track without a driver, it's just going to sit there.
Essentially, yeah. The driver needs.
It's true. Yes. The car is nothing without the driver. The driver is nothing without the car. The two of them have to work together, and what they have to do, the engineering teams, which is why they have the Constructors' Championship as well, because they need to recognise that the engineering teams who actually build the car around the driver.
Yeah.
These basically, you know, when we talk about giant robots and, you know, mechs and stuff like that, and you know, and how mechs are going to punch each other, it's going to come from Formula One. People don't realize, but it will actually come from Formula One, because they're the most Formula One team engineering teams are the most used to customizing all of this technology, all of their expertise, everything like that, customizing it to a specific person, and that's what you need when you're going to go down the route of mechs. Wow. So then in about in 10, 15, 20 years' time, we won't have Formula One cars. We'll have Formula One robots.
Wow. I just like the idea.
They will be hovering, and they will go around the track, and it'll be like something from, you know, Wipeout or something like that.
It will be F-Zero.
I've just got an image of, like, Transformers. Like, and they're at that final corner, they're neck and neck, and Lewis Hamilton's car's just transformed, and it's legging it over the finish line. No?
No.
Oh. You mean we're getting closer and closer to Metal Gear?
Yeah.
Every single.
You got Jensen Button's turned into a cannon and just blew it out the sky.
No, it's not that. I've just it's not that they've transformed.
It's just they are just mechs.
They are just mechs from the beginning. They'll be like in sprinting poses at the beginning. You know, in their mechs, the mechs will be in sprinting poses, like, you know, like Usain Bolt.
Imagine the crashes.
And then they're all just running down the straight like this.
Imagine the crashes. It's like, Lewis Hamilton's mechs lost a leg. It's hopping, but it's not going to get
and
through.
And Lewis is so angry, his mech now has its foot lodged somewhere.
In all seriousness, Formula One is it's an example of, it's a test of concentration, and it is endurance as well. I mean, they lose weight during those races.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about the G's they pull going around the corner. Sometimes it's as high. The amount of G-force they're going around a corner or down a straight for some of these races is the equivalent of what a fighter pilot would face.
Well, I mean, you can class it as a sport as well, because they have to get in shape to drive the car.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Well, I mean,
they have to be a specific weight.
You remember Jeremy Clarkson once got into an F1 car.
Oh, yeah. What? Oh.
They actually had to enlarge the cockpit.
They did, yeah.
So that he could fit in it.
Aye. Although, Richard Hammond actually did drive an F1 car.
But he's tiny.
True.
You could put Richard Hammond on a horse and have him run the Grand National.
So the only reason you brought that up is just to remind everyone that Jeremy Clarkson is fat.
Yes.
You could put Richard Hammond on Jeremy Clarkson and have them run the Grand National.
Wow.
Actually, but, that might work. Anyway, so BBC have announced a 2-year deal with NFL to show live matches. I think this is a great move. I just don't want BBC suddenly going, oh, right, let's get loads of other sports from other countries and start showing, like, handball, which nobody watches
AFL.
In the UK.
AFL.
AFL.
Get it? Yeah. Australian football.
Australian football. Australian football is
a
possibility.
That's always on the, Channel 5. Or
Australian football, but maybe closer to home. Maybe closer to home, rugby league.
oh, snap.
Exactly.
NFL's just a fight.
No, they already show rugby league. ITV and BBC already show rugby league.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd throw that out there because I used to play Union, so obviously.
Oh, all right. Oh, I see. It's personal for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, the thing is, I actually think league has something to teach Union.
Yeah.
League's running game is really, really so much better than Union's. And if they could do a combination of league and union, you know, we'd be world champions every single time.
Yeah.
It is true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the physical strength of union against the running game, along with the running game of league, No one would stand up to us. We'd be monsters.
Yes, that's enough of your sports ball talk.
Anyway, yeah, NFL, I think it's a good move. Moving on to the next story.
Yes, which is, of course, Anne Robinson, because the two fit so well
together.
Oh,
yes, yes.
So, Anne Robinson, she is leaving Watchdog after 15 years on the show.
Wait,
she left once already, didn't she?
Yeah, I was going to say,
I think she left a few years ago.
She left, and then she came back, and then I don't know if she left again and then came back.
How long did she leave for?
I know she was on Watchdog.
I don't think it was that long.
Oh.
I know she left Watchdog, because she was on Watchdog, I think, in the 90s. And then she left Watchdog, and that was when she was doing, like, The Weakest Link and various things like that. And then she came back to Watchdog after whatever.
Well, after she stopped being that famous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't she... Hasn't she recently done a program about people on benefits?
Now yes. Yeah, because she was eating weird food.
She was, like, eating bin food.
Yeah.
Yep, they weren't happy with those contestants for Ready, Steady, Cook, so Anne Robinson had to deal with them.
I would watch that episode of Ready, Steady, Cook. Yes.
No, what have you got in your bin today?
Can't cook, won't cook. student version.
Oh, will you stop it with the student thing?
No.
We can cook.
Really?
Well, some of us can,
okay,
without burning a house down.
Thank you for clarifying that. Some of you can.
Without burning a house down.
Yeah, some of you can. I don't doubt that some students can cook.
Yes.
But the majority of students...
I think everybody can cook. Just
at different levels.
Cook well.
When a student says to you, this chicken doesn't look right, I thought it was supposed to be white meat. And you have to point out that it's raw.
Yes. That is...
Yeah, but that microwave isn't going to push itself.
I think it's unfair to blame it on students. That's just idiots.
Well,
like you get idiots at all level of life.
My friend tried to microwave two jacket potatoes. He had them in the microwave. The microwave was on, 6.5 minutes, still frozen. And he was like, why has that happened?
Still frozen?
Yes.
Was it on defrost?
Well, that's the thing. It's...
I've done that once. You said crying because you have to guess the time.
Can I ask, why were the potatoes frozen?
We have no idea. I think it's
because that might add to the cooking time. Well, think about it.
They had originally. I think they had originally been in the freezer. You put them in, and they were still frozen when the time had stopped.
That's what I mean. The fact that they're frozen might add to the cooking time a little bit.
I didn't even know you could freeze potatoes and still...
They're like,
no, you can freeze potatoes.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just that you need to make the cooking time longer.
I think it's like those McCoy's jacket
Why
potatoes.
Why my mash got a massive icicle in the middle of it?
Basically.
Oh, don't talk about that. My mate, I have a friend who actually puts ice in milk.
Actually, iced milk is not
sometimes
bad.
Sometimes you have like
anyway,
milkshake ice cream.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Anne Robinson.
Yeah, Anne Robinson.
Yeah,
and
she's leaving Watchdog because like she's 70 now, so I assume
is she actually retiring fully then?
I believe so.
Oh, she'll be back. It's like someone who has a tantrum. Right, that's it. I'm gone. You'll never see me again. She'll be back in a few years.
Well, I think it's unfair to call that a tantrum. I think it's
a
just
tantrum.
It wasn't that.
Like, it's not really stopping. It's more just like, yeah, now is retiring. But I know a lot of. Like Terry Wogan, like they retire and then they get bored, so they just come back.
Yeah, because Terry's back on BBC Two, going around with what's his face, who did the taxi stuff over in Bangladesh and India.
Aye, wears a flat cap as well.
Mason, what's his name? Yeah, Mason, what's his name? Who basically went across to Bangladesh and did some ferrying in Bangladesh.
That's a bit
tried being a minicab driver in Delhi or something like that.
That's a bit of a tongue twist, isn't it? Mason, what's his name?
He makes him sound like a spy.
It does a bit, yeah.
Mason, what's his name?
What's his name? Mason, what's his name?
Yeah. yeah. Anyway, any other stories?
I think that's it, isn't it?
That's it, yeah.
Yep,
I think that's
the end
of
the
news. That was the
end
of the news, yes.
So we're finishing with Anne Robinson this week.
Yeah, well, no. We're finishing with what we've been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
TV.
I've been watching paintings.
Really? I've been watching grass grow.
I win because the paintings don't actually move. At least the grass moves. Might be infinitesimally small amounts of movement, but they do move. If the paint was drying, then you might win. But mine have already been dried. They, you know, and all I can do is sit there and imagine the possibilities.
Interesting stuff. Well, that's all for this week's show. Bye, everyone.
If I'd told you it was fake grass, I'd have only just made that up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, but yeah, for realsies, what I've been watching on TV is a couple of things that I've talked about before, but I think I'd like to go back to.
Okay.
Because I've actually changed my mind about Sons of Anarchy.
Oh.
I know the other week I was saying I wasn't that into it, but I think this final series has really picked up now. Because basically there is an event what happens, which I can't really say that much about without it being a massive spoiler.
Okay.
But basically afterwards, it kind of makes all the club have to come together, and like basically it really plays up the whole family angle, which I think the show had kind of been missing for a while.
All right.
And it made me remember, yeah, that's why I liked this show in the first place. Because it's really cool how, like, they're these big, burly biker-type guys.
Yeah.
But they also love each other like a family.
Okay.
And I think it's kind of... It's been nice to, like, have a reminder as to why I actually care about these characters and why I should want to know what happens to them.
So it gets you more invested in them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you have to keep a show goes for that long of a... run, it needs to add something. So, I mean, usually the beginning of later series are quite slow.
Yeah, plus I think, especially with something like this, it can get quite dark towards the end. And that you can kind of think, oh, all these people are horrible. Why do I care about them? Yeah, but like, you need that kind of thing to show you, oh, yeah, they have this lighter side as well. And then also what I've been watching, I almost don't want to say the words... But I have to. It's the final ever episode of Hannibal. And now I'm sad.
That was such a good show.
It was. Unfortunately, like, I can't really say all that much about the final episode because it was just all so very spoilery.
Does Hannibal eat the detective?
Hannibal eats everyone. That's how it ends. It's like he just grabs people, just like unhinges his jaw, shoves them in his mouth.
It's like that guy at the Twilight Zone where everyone's dead, but it's only him.
Yes, it is actually just that episode of The Twilight Zone.
Like, can we almost end the episode of The Twilight Zone?
And like just Rod Serling's voice comes on at the end, and that's the end of Hannibal. But no, it was really cool. It's like it was basically adapting the Red Dragon. That's the name of the book. It's like you had Richard Armitage playing Francis Dolarhyde, and he was amazing.
The thing is, that's where it gets confusing because. Red Dragon was a book, yeah? And they made a movie called Red Dragon, didn't they?
Except they also made a movie called Manhunter.
Yeah, they also made a movie called Manhunter. Then there's also the movie Silence of the Lambs. But then there's also the book called Hannibal and a movie, I believe, called Hannibal. And also the TV series called Hannibal, which isn't connected to the book or the movie called Hannibal.
It's actually now it is, because the first half of this series was actually an adaptation of Hannibal, but they made it so it took place before Red Dragon.
Wasn't there Hannibal Rising as well, though, that took place?
No, that didn't happen, Andy. We don't talk about Hannibal Rising.
No one in the geek community talks about that.
No one in any community talks about it.
Not even the Hannibal Society talk about that.
I've only saw the poster. Come on.
It wasn't a good film.
I think it's even the films that cannibals themselves don't want to talk about.
Well, at their cannibal parties.
Yeah. So, should we order in? Oh, I know a great takeaway place. They have the best delivery.
Ooh, the best Turkish ham delight.
Oh.
He got it into the show.
It made its way.
He got his pink crowbar and he worked it in there. That just sounded wrong. I was trying to make it sound like he was a bit girly with a big crowbar, but then it just came out totally wrong.
I've got to walk away now.
There's so many other colours that could have been wrong.
I know.
Oh, God. See, this is a show that you have to learn to stop yourselves at certain points.
You could have picked any other colour, but it's still going to be the same effect.
No, it's not. If I'd gone for like blue or something like that, it would have been fine.
Exactly.
But because I was trying to make you sound girly, I went for pink.
Could have just said like glittery crowbar.
Exactly.
Could have been actually.
I failed horribly.
It actually could have been worse.
How?
You could have said purple.
He does have a point. Anyway, enough of the crowbars. So, Hannibal, you've been watching. What you've been watching, Andy? Let's do this. Let's do this.
If you could stop laughing for a minute.
Right. I've been watching the new series of Dave Gorman's Modern Life is Goodish.
Hey?
Dave.
Okay.
See, that's a really good show. It is quite funny, and it makes us realise how everything we like about modern life is actually not that good.
I mean, it stems off his stand-up ideas. He's actually in Middlesbrough in November, and I'm going to see him, so brilliant. But
there's just a pause there.
It's based off his book where he's got... I mean, he's made a book where he's got all these, like, quite a lot of stories in.
Yeah.
And he puts them into a weekly show, which is very brilliant. He uses a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh.
Every time.
Oh, now that makes a program PowerPoint.
PowerPoint presentation and a MacBook Air.
Oh.
I've gone off him now.
But, he's really good. I mean, he looks at stuff like there's this really long Welsh town name.
Oh, that one that everyone tries to for a bet.
Got a few days ago.
Yeah, that's whatever it is.
He's become like an internet celebrity just over his ability to say that one
place. And when he did that, he said, to remember how I spell this, I made a little poem type of thing, didn't he? I forgot what to call it, where you say something to remember.
Yeah, it's like when people... tried to remember because like big elephants always upset small elephants. I think he said always eat small elephants. That would have been weird.
So this is like the Hannibal elephant world.
But apparently he went to a pub quiz and said it was wrong or something like that.
Oh.
But it wasn't.
But well, anyway,
it's a really good show, and he goes, I mean, the last week, it's on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock, sorry. And he was talking about Homes Under the Hammer this week, and YouTube videos that explain what's in the video before you watch it. So it's like pointless to watch it.
You love Homes Under the Hammer?
I do enjoy Homes Under the Hammer.
Then you missed out on the Dion Dublin question yesterday.
I really did. Well, I wasn't even in for that round because I was attacked by a nap.
Yeah, we did the quiz yesterday, and in the TV round we threw some curveballs at a geek quiz. One of the questions was, which former footballer now infamously presents Homes Under the Hammer?
I don't know how he got there.
It's quite a surprise.
The other questions was, name the most common themes for the weeks on the Great British Bake Off. So things like pies, tarts, bread, pastry, desserts.
Which, guys, we've officially now had the term soggy bottom used on Bake Off this series.
Wow.
Yes. Anyway, yes, so where were we?
Dave Gorman.
Yeah.
Modern Life is Goodish. Tuesdays at 10 o'clock on Dave.
Oh, I didn't realise we hadn't established that earlier.
And brilliant.
Okay. It is a good show, definitely worth watching. You were going to say something there, Rob, weren't you? Because you got excited about something.
I've forgotten. It's gone.
It was that exciting.
Yes.
Wow.
My policy is if I don't remember it in 5 minutes, it probably wasn't that important.
All right.
Just remember it when you're about
to... It also applies to, you know, people trying to call me. You know, if they're calling me a second time, then it's probably important. But if they've only called me the once, then it's probably something they could have done themselves.
Either that or they figured, he'll just ring back.
That's a good lesson for life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or for all you know, somebody could be in trouble, their phone died and they couldn't call you back, and you're the only chance of being saved.
Yeah, but what's the
why they that? Chose you, I don't know, but...
That's my point.
Exactly. Nobody's going to choose you. So
they deserve what pain comes their way.
See, I mean, it's like it's ultimately unimportant. You know, it's something they could have fixed themselves. See,
what if your friend was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You were there phone a friend, and you didn't answer, and you could have won them and helped them win £1 million.
It probably wouldn't have worked.
Millionaire's not on the air no more.
Yeah.
Well, this is news to me.
Just look how casually you completely shut that down.
No, it's coming back. It's coming back because I saw an advert for it the other night. It is coming back. No, it's on Challenge.
It will come back eventually, but not with Chris Tamman.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Let's move on. Owen, what have you been watching?
Clearly not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
But you're like, I know this answer. I've seen this one before.
Yes.
A bit repetitive on this show.
No. Oh, it's good. I know all these. I should fall and go on. I'm a genius.
He hasn't aged a bit. He looked the same in 2001.
Okay. Is he the one that cheated?
Yeah. Anyway.
But yes.
Owen, what have you been watching?
Well, a few weeks ago I talked about the return of New Tricks, everyone's favourite crime drama about old people solving crimes. Kind of like...
Well, actually, it's not my favourite one. My favourite one about old people solving crimes is still Miss Marple.
I just saw an episode of Miss Marple.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've continued to watch it because I've been quite interested in how it will continue after the departure of Dennis Waterman. And it is the last series, which I think is a bit of a shame because... With Larry Lamb in it, and now it is essentially a different lineup from when it all began. They've now got a sort of new dynamic going on, and I think it's a real shame for it to be cutting it like that straight away. Because, I mean, I understand, you know, the whole motif that all good things must come to an end, but I think it's almost like it has been rebooted, and it's got a nice. They've got a nice. I don't think of the word. I've already used the word before as well. But I think the characters, they work really well together, and I think it's a shame that it's going.
Yeah, they have a good group dynamic.
Yes, that's the one, yeah. Obviously, they've still got Dennis Waterman singing the theme tune. Obviously, it's a recording. He doesn't sing every single week because that would be stupid. And we don't live in that, and don't want to live in the 30s anymore. But you still got something from... when it began, so it's still there. But the new dynamic that is going on is so good. I am upset that it is going. It's been one of my favourite shows for the past, it's been like 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
And because I used to enjoy watching The Bill, and this was almost a good replacement for it, but I just enjoyed it because it was so different, and the characters were so different from each other, but they still worked really well. Yeah, Dennis Waterman, whose character was a sort of, like, you didn't know whether he was corrupt or not. He seemed like he was, but he was always honest. You had Alan Armstrong, whose character was very weird, but he was still brilliant at what he did. Then James Bond's character, who was sort of the logical one who could kind of keep both in check. All commanded by Amanda Redman, who was just brilliant.
Okay, cool. Fantastic. For myself, I'm trying to think of the best thing to say, because I've been watching a fair few things. But I think I'm going to have to go with something completely different. Rick and Morty.
Yes.
I have been watching Rick and Morty, and I am fully up to date with Rick and Morty. And I have to say, it is one of the greatest comedy cartoons I've seen in a long, long time. Big difference, right? See, Rick and Morty has a weird subtext all about Rick, Sanchez. The story is about Rick Sanchez, and he's living with his estranged daughter and her husband and their two kids, Summer and Morty. And Rick, sometimes he needs an assistant, and the 14-year-old Morty ends up as his assistant. Now, Morty is basically going through puberty. He's a mass of emotions and hormones and stuff like that. And Rick's just kind of, he's probably the greatest genius in the universe, but he's kind of the Rickest Rick there is.
Yes, he is the Maverick.
Yes. Yes, he is. And you find out exactly why he's the Rickest Rick there is because he didn't join the Council of Ricks who... banded together for safety, but there's a weird subtext under, and I think it has to do with Rick's wife. This is my supposition, right? Because do you guys remember the episode from season two with Unity, the hive mind?
No, because I haven't watched season two yet.
Okay,
I've only just recently discovered Rick and Morty. So
right, when you get to season two with the hive mind, come back and I'll talk to you about the ending to that episode because it is extremely dark. extremely. And that's the weird subtext, because there's always this undercurrent of darkness running through all of the comedy and the bright colors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you don't actually really get a sense of how dark it is. There's a bit in the first series where you meet one of Rick's friends who's basically, you know, a bird man.
I mean, bird person.
Oh, bird person, sorry. Bird person, yeah. And bird person tells Morty that this...
That wubba dubba lub lub, like Rick's catchphrase thing, means I'm in great pain.
Yeah, please help me, I'm in so much pain. And Morty kind of brushes it off as kind of one of those things, but then it gets to the Hive Mind episode, and the end of the Hive Mind episode, and you're like, oh. Yeah, the end of the Hive Mind episode, and you're like, oh, wow. So maybe bird person was telling the truth, because you do just brush it off. But yeah, there's this weird vibe that it doesn't really sit right with the entire series, this whole undercurrent of, you know, what the hell is actually going on, because you don't really know what's going on. And that's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward so much to the third season, because little drips and drabs of information are coming out slowly. And I think that's one of the reasons why it got a third series, is because there is this massive subtext that hasn't been addressed.
Yeah, and well, because it's pretty popular, I think.
Well,
yeah.
It's funny. It's hilarious.
It's really funny.
It's hilarious, and it's science-based, and it's just kind of, you know.
It's perfect for you then, isn't it?
Seriously, I want to talk to you guys about the episode called Get Swifty. it's brilliant.
Wow.
Show me what you got. I like what you got.
It's done by Cartoon Network, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's Dan Harmon from Community.
Makes it better.
It's just the writing, you know, the characters. There's so much to love about Rick and Morty, and very little to actually dislike about it. It's one of this new breed of TV animated series. Gravity Falls falls into this category as well. Gravity Falls has an amazing episode about zombies, by the way. But Gravity Falls, Rick and Morty, they're different to, you know, the kind of things that we had during the 90s with the likes of Johnny Bravo, the Powerpuff Girls, and all the other cartoon type things.
Yeah.
The only one that I would say kind of fits into the current mold would be Samurai Jack.
Okay.
Because that had an underlying story. And it was episodic, but it had the underlying story of Jack basically being the hero.
Yeah, well, plus you've got to remember that, like, all those cartoons were geared more towards children, whereas Rick and Morty is definitely for adults.
That's what I mean. That's why Samurai Jack is also in this category of Rick and Morty, because even though ostensibly it was geared towards children, it was shown at, like, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, plus it's one of those things that, like, you go back and you watch it as an adult and you're like, oh, that's what that means.
Yeah, I mean, the episode of in Samurai Jack with the blind archers, that was amazing, where Jack basically has to fight he realizes that in order to beat the blind archers, he has to be blind himself, because he has to see the world the way they do. He has to see the world the way they do in order to fight the way they do, because they react to sound immediately. So, yeah. There's so many great episodes in Samurai Jack, but then there's some duffers as well, like any series. But I've yet to see a bad episode of Rick and Morty.
Which, to be fair, you say there's only like 16-ish episodes of Rick and Morty at the moment, isn't there?
No, it's into season two. It's in the second season.
Yeah,
so.
But I know, like, series one had about 11 episodes, and now they're like 5 episodes into season two, I think.
Possibly.
He can either confirm nor deny.
I can't remember. I cannot remember.
If only there was a sort of information database where we could look up these
17
kind of
episodes.
Things.
Yeah, you're right. there's loads of great episodes in Rick and Morty, and the relationship that he has with his daughter and his daughter's family is funny.
It is
hilarious. But the thing is, once you get to season two, see the characters evolve over the course of these shows as well. It's not like The Simpsons, where, you know, everyone's stuck in a state of arrested development. The characters actually evolve because, and they do it very, very subtly. In the second season, for example, it is that episode with the Hive Mind. Summer is on their adventure, right? Summer's with Rick and Morty on their adventure. And she's basically doing her thing of being a teenager and thinking, oh, this is good and this is bad. And she accidentally starts a race war.
Oh.
Right. And Rick, sorry, Morty is just standing there. He's like, first race war, eh? Because he's obviously gone through it a couple of times before, and now he's desensitized to it. Now he's now he's basically taken the Rick approach. He's basically, yeah, we all did it.
It's actually the very first episode when Morty kills someone.
Yeah, I mean, Morty is basically becoming more and more like Rick. He's desensitized to the fact that, you know, because he's obviously started a couple of race wars himself by accident. He's like, yeah, we've all done it. It's just one of those things that happens when you go on these adventures. You know, you'll get over it. Don't worry. And that's what I like about Rick and Morty, is just this kind of matter-of-fact attitude that Rick has. And then everybody eventually conforms to that attitude because it's the most sensible attitude to take. Whereas everybody's kind of doing the whole, you know, bleeding heart, do-gooder type thing, you know, busybody type lifestyle right at the beginning. Eventually, everybody sees things Rick's way. And that's why I like it. Because Rick is good.
It's a good show.
Yes. Well, no, Rick is not good. He is a terrible, terrible person.
Oh, yeah.
He is. He's a terrible person.
He has his moments, though.
Little things, because Bird Person has a picture of Rick on his wall, and Rick is holding a baby.
Oh.
Yeah. Morty says, who's that?
And is it Morty?
We don't know.
Even more interesting then.
Yes, I know. So, yes. Anyway, that is Rick and Morty, and I think that we are at the end of the show with that.
Yep.
So we're going to zap ourselves into another dimension and go on an adventure now, and we're going to be the Rickest Ricks there are.
Except for Andy, who will be the
Reckless Ricks.
Hey?
Except for Andy, who will be the Mortiest Morty.
Yes, Andy will be the Mortiest Morty.
Mortified.
Oh.
And I think on that note, it's a good time to...
Yes, I have been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Owen.
We'll see you all next week. Take care and have fun.
Wubba-dubba-lub-dub.
You're in pain?
So much pain. All the time.
We have cream for that.